Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf lamed zayin in avodah zarah. Tomorrow we have to look forward to Bishul Hakam. Tomorrow's daf is all about Bishul Hakam. But before we get to tomorrow's daf, we are still going to finish up our gzera discussion about benoseihem. Okay, the top of lamed vav amud beis, two lines from the very top, gufa. We're not starting from here, but just to review what we saw yesterday, there was a gzera of benoseihem. There was a shmona sadova, the 18 gzeras that were enacted by Talmidei Hillel, the Talmidei Zaken. Talmidei Shammai. Thank you. It's early. And the gzeras, there are 18 gzeras that were imposed, and the Gemara yesterday told us that the 18 gzeras that were imposed, these are untouchable. Of the different gzeras that are out there, if there is theoretically another basin that comes at a later point in time that is greater than Minyan, the Chachma of the Minyan, so those, they could rescind a gzera that was made in previous generations. We talked about that yesterday, how Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, or Rabbi Yehuda Nasir, which we'll talk more about today, rescinded a gzera that was made in earlier generations, correct? Assuming that you have the qualification of Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma B'Minyan. But
do that, by the way. Mm-hmm. Who is ever going to establish that?
Eliyahu.
Anyway, right.
Correct.
There's no way.
But the gzeres of Shmona Asar Davar, which Tosus quotes from a Yerushalmi, Hillel and Shammai, and the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai were Mamed Nafsho Sehem. They sacrificed for themselves for it. So those gzeres do not go away. They will always be here. One of the gzeres, even Eliyahu will not take it away. One of the gzeres is Benoseihem. And yesterday the Gemara had a lot of problems just figuring out what the gzera actually was. Because there's a host of Isuri D'Oraisa when it comes to Benoseihem, and on top of the Isuri D'Oraisa, there's also a host of Isuri D'Rabbanan. So where did Hillel and Shammai come in, and where did they insert a gzera into Benoseihem? So here's what it's not. Okay, a short list of things which the Gemara says it isn't. First and foremost, it's not intermarriage. Okay, that's already covered by the Torah. Intermarriage, the Torah says that you're not allowed to marry a non-Jew, and that is an Isuri D'Oraisa. Machlokes Tanaim, whether that applies to the seven nations or to everybody. We accept the position that applies to everyone. That's the opinion of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Okay, so it's not talking about intermarriage. Znus, so the Gemara says no, also taken care of already. Znus, the Beis Din of Shame took care of Znus. As far as And that's znus of a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man. What about the other way around? What about a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman? That's halach l'moshe misin, aikanayim pogimbo. Aikanayim pogimbo is only befar hesed. That's only for a public act. What about a private act? Private act was already covered by the Beis Din of the Chashmonaim, which is a little bit earlier than Shammai and Hillel, but still earlier than Shammai and Hillel.
You mean to say that? Huh? Until then, it was mutter?
Until then, there was no gzera d'rabbanan. Yeah.
The mutter.
Mutter, yeah, I guess. If there's no gzera d'rabbanan, something I'm sure is not condoned.
Yeah, it may not be the best way to put it.
Correct. Mutter, right? Correct.
Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Olam
Shekel
Mevorech.
It wasn't good for the shidduch. It just wasn't good. Period. And they made a gzera. Right, and Nashgaz, that's the four considerations that they took into consideration when they made the Gzera. And okay, so the Gemara says fine. So Bia is already covered. Bia with a non-Jew is already covered. So what's left is Yichud. And this is where we got to yesterday, and this is where we're going to continue in the Gemara. Okay, so now the Gzera of Shmona Sadavar applies to Yichud. Ki Gazer, we'll start the first wide line on the page. Okay, so Bia is already covered by the gzera of the Chashmonaim. So we're talking about Yichud. And they made a gzera on Yichud. So the Gemara right away says, what? Yichud nami beis dinu shel David gazru. What do you mean? There was already gzera on Yichud. The Amar of Yehuda b'Osur Shah gazru al Yichud. At that moment, here we go to Yichud. What moment are we talking about? The abduction and the rape of Tamar. Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Right? And the reason why is that Amnon played sick. Tamar went to go take care of him. And then, unfortunately, the Navi tells us that he raped her. And as a result of that, they made a gzera that a man is not allowed to be alone with a woman. Rosh Hashanah gazru al yichud. I'm in house of yichud debasi. So, ava yichud avos kocham lova. So, when you gazru afilo al yichud avos kocham. So the Gemara says fine, but that's that prohibition of yichud, which was instituted by David HaMelech, that was for Jew to Jew. What about Jew to non-Jew? That yichud is not usur. And along comes the Beis Din of Hillel and Shammai, and they instituted yichud on Jew to non-Jew. So the Gemara says yichud debasi sol daraisi. First of all, yichud is nisa daraisa. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yishum Rabbi Yotzadik remez liyichud min ator minayin. How do I have a remez? Now remez means a hint, an allusion. It does not mean that this is the actual source. It means that this is where it's alluded to in the Torah. Shenemar ki yasitzcha achicha ben imecha v'chi ben imecha. I'm sorry, v'chi ben aim, maces ben av, eno maces. The way the Torah talks about seduction towards idolatry, it's a funny way to phrase it. It says, ki yisizcha achicha ben imecha, the son of your mother. What does that mean, son of your mother? Son of your mother, not son of your father? Ela ben misyached im imo, vein acher misyached im kol araisha betorah. You're not allowed to be miyached, you're not allowed to seclude yourself with anyone who is prohibited to you outside of your mother. For simple pshat in the Gemara, it sounds like it includes everybody, includes even your sister. Okay, which, generally speaking, we don't assume a yetzahara towards your sister, much like there's a mother. You can, you know, Shulchan Aruch does not recommend it, but you can kiss your sister. So anyway, so, okay, but sister aside, the basic idea is that yichud already is an issur daraisa. So yichud daraisa de'esh ish. So the Gemara says, correct. But yichud is an issur daraisa on an erva, meaning a shesish. V'az adavi v'gaz v'afilo a yichud dipinuya. Amnon and Tamar were both singles. So that needed a gzera, and that David came along and was gozer. V'azu tamidi de beisham v'beisilol, gazer afilo a yichud de avodas kochavim, period. That finally takes us to the end of the discussion. So here we have it now, a full picture of what's an issur daraisa, what already existed as a Gzera Derabanan, and what Hillel and Shammai did in terms of adding to that Gzera Derabanan. So when all said and done, you ask the question, what Shmonos Ardavra Benoseihem? And the correct answer is, okay, and it took a while for the Gemara to get here, Yichud with a Penuya of Avodas Kochavim, a non-Jew, secluding yourself with a non-Jewish girl. That is the Gzera Shmonos Ardavra instituted by Hillel and Shammai, or Talmidei Hillel and Shammai. Okay, now if you look back carefully, go back to the top of the page again, right, where we learned that there was a gzera on the bread, oil, wine, and daughters. Kula mishmona asar davrahein. And the Gemara then goes on to say, the gzera was because of wine. Ve'al yena mishum benoseihem, wine because of the daughters. Ve'al benoseihem mishum davar acher. And daughters lead to avodah zara. And the truth of the matter is that you see Chumash, you open up Chumash, and you see that inside. Right? In Parshas Balak, the end of the Parsha over there, talks about how they had relations with Benos Midjan, and that led to Avodah Zarah, led to Baal Peor. Okay, good. And then it reads, Davar Acher Mishum Davar Acher. And then they make some sort of reference, some sort of allusion of Davar Acher because of Davar Acher. What's that talking about? Gemara wants to know. So, my davar acher mishum davar acher. What is that? Obviously, some sort of ambiguous reference over there. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak Gazer al tinok ovekocham sheitame beziva shalei tinok Yisrael ragel etzlo bemeshkav zachor. Okay, a baby, a non-Jewish baby gives off tumah ziva. Now Rashi over here is very clear that there's no tumah that comes off of a non-Jew. No tumah ziva, and aside from that, a baby usually does not have any type of discharge, any type of emission. Nevertheless, the Chachamim made a gzera that a baby gives off tumah, it's tumah derabanan obviously, so that our children are not together with their children. And that would lead to davar acher. What's davar acher over there? The reference is to Mishkav Zachor. Okay. Adam Rabbi Zera, Tsar Gadol Hayali, Eitzel Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Asi, Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Eitzel Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yanai, Eitzel Rabbi Nasim, and Amra, Rav Nachman, Amram, Eitzel Rabbi. And the question was asked again and again and again from one to the other. Tosfos is of the opinion that these people lived all in the same generation, meaning they all lived in the generation of Rabbi. Which is interesting because usually we look back at some of the names over here. We normally assume Rabbi Asi, and yeah, let's say without Rabbi Asi, he was a student of Rav. So, if without the Tosfos, I would have told you that Rav Asi is two generations after Rabbi. Not to say I'm wrong, but I'm just simply saying that the way Tosfos has it, true, and he was also the same generation of Rabbi as well. Even though Rav was certainly a student of Rabbi, that we know for sure. And then Rav Asi, also you're going to put in that same generation. Anyway, Tina Govid Kochavim Me'emasem Etame B'ziva. V'amli Ben Yomo. Okay, so Rabbi's answer to everybody's question, when does a non-Jew give off Tumah? Again, this is Tumah D'Rabbanan. This is not Tumah D'Araisa. There's no such thing as Ziva by a non-Jew, meaning they may physically discharge, but it doesn't give off Tumah, and yet the rabbis impose the Tumah D'Rabbanan. So that comes from when he's one day old. And then I said, meaning Rabbi's talking, when I took it to Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia was his uncle, and when I took it to Rabbi Chia, it's Rabbi Chia's Rav's uncle. Okay, I take it back. Anyway, when I took it to Rabbi Chia, Uchishabati v'yisesi divrei lefnei Rabbi Amali hanach divrei v'achos divrei Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said it's from 9 years of age.
And
9 years and one day. 9 years and one day, just as the Gemara way of saying 9 years.
As a practical matter, how do you know that?
That he's 9 years old? I guess he asked. And the reason why it's very simple, because again, the whole reason of this gzeira that the goyim give off tumah is because of mishkav zachor. You only need to worry about it when they're physically mature enough to start engaging in mishkav zachor. Now we say, halachically speaking, that bia is bia for a boy for 9 years. 9 years old. When a boy is 9 years old, the bia is bia. Now he's not totally physically mature; he hasn't reached puberty yet. Doesn't matter. His bia is regarded as a bia, and that applies across the board through all the halachas that require a bia. For example, if a woman committed adultery with a minor under 13 years of age, he's going to be off the hook because he's underage. He's a minor. But once he's over 9 years of age, it's bia. It's considered an act of bia. So the gzeira, this is now Rabbi Chia talking, correcting Rabbi, the gzeira of when are they going to give off Tumah Ziva? That's when they're 9 years of age, not when they're one day old.
And it looks like you follow that halacha?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry, Devar Levin Rabbi, I read this already, I'm sorry. Amalo Hanach Devarai V'achoz Devar Rabbi Chia. So Rabbi says, you know what? I'm wrong, he's right. Rabbi says, Rabbi Chia is absolutely right, 9 years old. Damatina Goviko Chavimasa Metame Beziva Ben Tisha Shana Viyamechat. However, Roy Labia Metame Name Beziva. Because this Gzeira is a function of not engaging in Mishkav Zachor. So the Gzeira doesn't take place until they're 9 years of age when they are Roy Labia. Okay. Amravina. Hilkach, Hatinokas of Eskocham, Basgimashan of Yamachan, Hoveruil Abia Metaminame Beziva. So the Gemara says, okay, now let's take that same very concept and let's apply it to a girl. Now, a girl also, there's going to be a Gzeira Durabanan that she's going to give off Tumah. So what's her age? And again, we're going to go to what we know in other areas of halacha. In other areas of halacha, a girl is considered to be a Bas Bia when she's 3 years old. Before 3 years of age, I know this for us, this is just such a strange discussion, I'm aware. But still, at 3 years of age, before 3 years of age, her besulim is going to grow back. The Gemara Ksuva tells us that. So after 3 years of age, it now becomes an act of bia. So the gzeira should apply to a girl when she's 3 years of age. Okay, so the Gemara says, pshita, now that's obvious. And the reason why the Gemara thinks it's obvious right now is because all we did, we didn't do anything that nifty. All we did is just simply take the age of bia, which we know for a boy is 9, and just simply say, well, for a girl, her age of bia is 3. Okay, so it must be that the gzeira de rabbanan applies when she's 3 years of age. So pshita, the Gemara says it's not so pashut. Ma'u detema hayada la'argule, v'halo yada la'argule. Look, at 9 years of age, not only is he physically mature enough to have an act of bia, but he's also mentally a little smarter. So in other words, he'll know how to manipulate and to take advantage of another of another Jewish boy and engage in Mishkav Zachor. But a three-year-old, and I know the Midrashim that say that Rivka was three when she married Yitzchak, but okay, but generally speaking, the Gemara acknowledges this. That at 3 years of age, like, there's no reason to make a gzeira by a three-year-old girl. It doesn't make any sense. So that's a havamin. In other words, that's why I would have thought, don't just simply say, well, she's a bas bi at three, so the gzeira of her being a ziva is going to start at three. So kamash malan, that's why it is a chiddush. Okay? Period.
Why did they make it? It was made something tiring. This was made...
No, but this is by Shani.
What?
This is
By Shani. Why is this gzeira? Like, Yichud is not set up in a tumah fashion, right? Do you have any suggestion? Why did they do this? Why did they create a tumah?
Right.
Why did they say you can't put the
Because once they're tumah, the assumption going into this gzeira is that once you say the tumah, oh, we're not going to get close to them now. Right, and just make it easier than that. Make it simpler than that. Just simply say you. I don't know.
Right. Which is a similar type of problem, doesn't work through.
Right.
Doesn't the Gemara say, putting it in the truth today, that you swear not sure that
you're right, no, correct. But in other words, but the Ovi Kochavim are, and the Gemara says is that if there is. Right, if there's intersocializing, so then it'll lead to Ishkav Zachar. That's Davar Acher Mishum Davar Acher. Period. Okay, we go back now today to the oil. Okay? And today, for the rest of today, there's going to be a lot of side discussion, but today, for the rest of the day, we're going to go to oil. Now, I made a mistake when I read the Mishnah yesterday. Proud to say. One of my many mistakes. In that I read the Mishnah literally. Now, the Mishnah reads, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Matir oil. And I said, okay, that's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And Rashi on the Mishnah says, no, it's not. It's not Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. It's Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. And that is, you want the family? It's Rabbi had a son. The son was Rabbi Gamliel. And the son of Rabbi Gamliel was Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. So he was named after his grandfather. And the only way to hear the difference between them is that the Zaydi was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And the grandson is Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyah. And Rashi says that we're not talking about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was Mate oil, but it was with his grandson. Now, it does pose a problem. And the problem is very simple. What's he doing in the Mishnah? Right? It's a fair problem to raise. Because Rebbe is the... it's a problem. Rebbe's the redactor of the Mishnah. He's the editor, the grand editor of the Mishnah. So you want to tell me now that maybe... No, I wouldn't say that. That maybe he did it in his very old age, and he saw his grandson. You could say that.
There's another Mishnah.
Yeah, where? Oh, Stuart, that's good. Bikias. Where is that?
I want to say it's in books.
Oh, no. That's unbelievable, Bikias.
Because I remember, because everybody asked,
how can an Amora be referenced in a Mishnah? Okay. If we go back to the Rashi back in the Mishnah, it does sound from Rashi, you just take it out. Meaning, lo garcina da halav iu sharya el rav yehuda nesiyah barbere sharya. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if Rashi's saying that. Just take it out. Or change it to rav yehuda nesiyah. Okay. Anyway, it's a worthwhile discussion of identifying who it is. The reason why Rashi's so insistent, right? Why does Rashi say that it's not rav yehuda nasi? Because of the Gemara that we're about to hit on right now. Mistamach va'azo, we're on Lamazayim Amud Aleph. We are five lines down from the top. Mistamach va'azo, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, akadfe de Rabbi Simlai Sham'e. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is being helped along by Rabbi Simlai, his attendant. Okay, so over here, clearly it's identified as Rabbi Yehuda Nasi'a. Amalei Simlai lo ha'ita emesh beveis mezhesh kishitanus ha'shemen. So, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is talking to his attendant. He's saying, you remember yesterday? What a great day we had yesterday. Highlights of yesterday. We matered oil. Right? That was the kind of day that we had yesterday. And it was a great day. It was a great day. And that oil, up until now, was rabbinically prohibited. The prohibition can possibly go back as far as Daniel. We talked about that yesterday. But regardless, we were matered oil yesterday, and it was good. And you know what? I want to go one step further. I want to be matir bread. Okay, I'm telling you, in other words, okay, good. And we went over, right? It's like every meeting. We went over yesterday's accomplishments, and now let's talk about our goals. So here's my goal. My goal is I want to be Mater Bread. Okay? Amar lo, im kain karulan beis din asharye. Think about the PR, his attendant says to him. If you go out there and you're Mater Bread, so now think about this. You are Mater Oil, you are Mater Bread, and they're going to call you Beis Din Asharya. Now, obviously, from our standpoint, like, what are you worried about? You're worried about the papers? You're worried about... Like, from our perspective, it seems to us to be trivial, and obviously it's not trivial. And obviously, it was a legitimate concern that he had about not allowing too much. Okay?
That's
what
Yehuda Nasiya said.
Right. Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya says, I can't do it.
He's much more...
Right? Did not? Because we learned in the Mishnah in Idias. Hey, Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda, each Sreida. Al ayo kimsa dakein, al mashke beishmen v'chaya dakein, v'al dikar v'lemisa mis'av, v'kar le Yosef Sharya. Now, just first the outline, and then I'll explain each one of them. The first thing, we quote a Mishnah in Adios, and we have a Tana. Now, he's an older Tana. I say older, meaning he's an early generation Tana. He's one of the Zugos, which means that he's like in the beginning of the Bayi Sheni. And the fifth pair of Zugos are Hillel and Shammai. And they're early Tanaim. So he's a really early Tana. So he was Matir three things. And from that point forward, they called him Yosef Sharya. Yosef, the one who permits things. Because he went trifecta. He permitted three things. Now, what are the three things that he permitted? So the first two are easy to explain. The first one is that there was a certain grasshopper, which was controversial. Right? Some people said, don't eat that grasshopper. And he says, no, that grasshopper's fine. Go ahead, enjoy it. Right? Live it up. Right? The name of the grasshopper is the Ayil Kamsa. Two... Is that all the liquids that are in the Azara, the water and the blood, are not subject to Tumah. Explain what that means a little bit better later on this morning. Hold off on that, but that's number two. And number three right now doesn't make any sense. Number three is that if you touch a mace, you're Tumah. Now, it doesn't make sense for two reasons. Number one, that's a chumrah, that's not a kula. Number two, that's not a gzeira, that's a din daraisa. Okay, so right now we don't understand number three. Later this morning we will understand number three. Right now, just ignore the fact that we don't understand it. Just look at the overview of, he was matir three things, and they called him Yosef Sharya, Yosef the permitter. And so, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi now says, I can't do it. Oil, bread... I can't do it because they're going to call me. They're going to call me names.
But it's supposed to be derogatory, like.
Clearly.
At some point, when there were a lot of matir in the Middle Ages, they used to call them matir isura.
Matir isura, right?
But you learn that somebody who was actually had. Comes up with Kula, it's actually more of an intellectual than somebody who has come with Kula.
Okay, the difference is that there's a machlokus, and I'm going to side with this position. Here is a total lifting of a ban. It's much bigger. It's much more fundamental over here. Here there was a gzera enacted, and he lifted the gzera. Okay, so it's not just being makel on a machlokas.
That's why they say certain rabbis. They call them that, the rabbis. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You go to certain
right?
rabbis. They always
so
say
now,
the same thing.
Yeah, but
right.
What can they do that? I mean,
So if you're based in Gadol Mimena B'Chachma B'Minyan, if you're a greater based than the one who made the enactment, or as we discussed yesterday, the enactment never really took hold.
But Daniel, it took hold.
So that's what we discussed yesterday. The Gemara said that if Daniel was the one who made the Gzera, you have to say that it never really took. The Gzera never took. That's what yesterday's Gemara taught us. Amalei Hasam Sharia Tlas Umar Sharia Chada. So as a good attendant, so he says to his Rebbe, don't worry. Yosef Ishreda was Matir three things. That's why he got the name. Well, so far you got oil under your belt. You're allowed another one.
You could do bread,
right? So that's only it's only two. You only get the reputation when you do three.
Why do you want to do that to begin with?
You saw yesterday. You remember yesterday? We saw the Gemara that Rebbe wanted to be Matir bread.
Why?
Because bread is a staple. It's a staple food. It's very difficult. Bread has to be cooked by a Jew, meaning it's not just that you have a mashkiach. Meaning the actual cooking has to be done by a Jew. The baking has to be done by a Jew. It's difficult. It's a difficult gzera. And Rebbe yesterday wanted to be matir. V'ishari marchad achrita akati tartinu dahavyan. It's only two. Amalei anishari achrita. So Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya says to his attendant, that's very nice of you. It's very sweet of you. But I already was matir another one. So bread would be my third. And now we're going to learn the other heter of Rebbe Yehuda Nasiya. Not necessarily an exciting one, but still, it's a heter nevertheless. Zegi techim lo batim mikana shneimasar chodesh, umeis besoch shneimasar chodesh, eino get. So we have a Mishnah and Gittin. The Mishnah and Gittin talks about the case. Mishnayos spend a lot of time on these types of cases. This is your get if I don't come back within 12 months, and he dies within the 12 months, so it's not a good get. Now, we know the rule is, the first rule of get is ein get la'achar misa. No post-mortem get. You can't do it. So in other words, and once you die, that's it. She's a widow and she's not a divorcee. Mm-hmm. And don't think for a moment, well, what's the big deal? Because in the world of Yavamos, in the world of Kohen, actually it works against her. But in the world of Yavamos, it's a really big deal. Because if he dies leaving her childless, so now she's looking at her brother-in-law, which for her whole life was looking at him and saying, oh no. And now he dies, and now it's even a bigger oh no. So you understand, she would much rather be a divorcee than a widow. Even though you're right, by the way, as a divorcee, she'd be usher to Kohanim. You're right. But still, she'd rather be a divorcee than a widow. Utnia lavra. Huh?
So it's not her option.
It's not as easy. Aaron, it's a nice suggestion, but it's just not. It doesn't always work that well. Right.
So that means that also this didn't take, and then he was able to change.
Wait. Let's finish the story. The rabbi saying itiru, and now along comes the rabbis. And the rabbis say, right now ambiguous reference, and the rabbis say, she's mutter. She's mutter, meaning she is divorced. Now, how does that work? Meaning, think about it. The get, what this get is not going to be a good get until after 12 months. And then he dies within 12 months. So what's going on over here? How does that work? I'm sorry, Rabbi Sani Tiruli Nasi Varmina, my Rabbi Sainu, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel, Bezdina Deshare Mashcha. You know, it's that Bezdin, that oil Bezdin, that Bezdin that allowed oil, it's that Bezdin that allowed her to marry as well. Now, how does this work? So, Sabri like Rabbi Yossi, Damas Banashar Shar Mochiach Alav. So, it works because we follow the position of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi has an unbelievable Chiddush. In that, you know, every document is dated. The dating of the document, first of all, tells us when the document was written. But Rav Yossi says, no, it does much more than that. It actually establishes the full force of this document from this date forward. It's like you wrote the word in the document, Mei Hayom, even though you didn't. Shtaro shall get mochia chalav. When you write a date on a document, it's ki'ilu, you're writing the word Mei Hayom, from this day forward.
Tonight means nothing. It's not
what I mean. Oh, wait. Oh, we'll get that. Actually, Gemara is going to talk about it in just a little bit. The Amar Rabbi Abba Breda Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya Horelo Horevelo Hodolo Kol Sha'ato Ve'Amrila Kol Siato. Now, Rabbi Abba disagrees. In that, according to Rabbi Abba, who's an Amora, he says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya attempted to go with this idea of Shtar Shall Get Mochia Chalav, but nobody agreed with him. Now, according to the first version, Kol Sha'ato, all of his days, meaning for all his life he tried to be matir this, and no one listened to him, or it's Kol Si'ato, or all of his colleagues. Either way, it was a full rejection of him trying to do it. Now, according to Rabbi Abba, the question really begs, so you still need a second matir. If nobody agreed with him, so then you really can't chalk this up as his number two heter.
Right.
Okay, and that's a problem and that's an issue, and our Gemara doesn't deal with it. But in the meantime, however, put Rabbi Abba aside for just a moment, so we have two heterim. Now the Gemara is going to spend a little bit of time now talking about this get, even though really it's a sidebar in our discussion, because it's just the main point right now is that this was heter number two, and that's why he wouldn't want to be mat to the bread, because the bread would then be number three. But the Gemara is going to spend just a little bit of time on this get. Let's just get through this Gemara. Amalei Rabbi El Azar. Yes. Amar Rabbi Elazar La'usab, ki sharisa la'alta sharisa delasi odel malach hashem asachodesh, da'ikayim le'tanai. So the Gemara has a really good question. right? You right now, let's assume that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is right. Shtar shall get mochiach halav. So now that means like this. You wrote a get, and you write in the get, right, if I don't come back within 12 months, you're divorced. Okay? And he dies 6 months later. Okay. And again, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says the get is good. It's a good get. Is it a good get from the moment he dies? Or do you have to wait 12 months?
No, retroactively, no.
Understood, but for what do you have to wait for? He's dead. He's not coming back. I'm assuring you, the next 6 months are going to come and go, and he won't come back. So,
no, she obviously can't marry from the date because the husband is still alive.
Right.
She said the get is good. Why can't she marry immediately? When she gets a get, she looks at the date. I'm divorced.
Right. So Tosfos. So Tosfos asked your question. In other words, right? The Im Tomer. Look at the small first Tosfos. The Im Tomer Pshita Del Alta Himuteres De Miyad Shemes Hare Hatanai Kimekuyam De Lo Yashiv Od Labeso. Right? He's not coming home.
Because
it says im lavasilacha yud beis chodesh.
Yeah, but if you say the date is machiach, then whatever.
The date's telling us when to. When no, the date's telling us that if 12 months come and he doesn't come back, now look back because now retroactively she'll be divorced from that point in time.
Right.
But if he's dead, if he dies within the 6 months, so does she need to wait now another 6 months or no? She can marry right away. Vitibayalach amasni. Since the Gemara says, look, that's a great question, but I'll tell you what. Even before the whole Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya controversy, you could have asked this question on a straight out Mishnah. Did not. Here's the Mishnah. Harei zegitech me'achshavim lo bati mekana 12 chodesh u'meis b'tzoch 12 chodesh harei zeget. So there, he actually says mekan an 12 chodesh. He uses the magic words of mekan, meaning the get's effective now if I don't come back within 12 months. And he dies within the 12 months. Does she need to wait till the 12 months are over? Can she marry immediately after he dies? Why don't you ask the question on the Mishnah? Why are you asking the question, which is, it's a valid question on both, but why are you waiting to the Rabbi Yehuda to see a controversy, just ask it on the Mishnah? And Achinami, the Gemara says, you're right. It just happens to be that I was there at the controversy, and so therefore it piqued my curiosity while I was at the controversy. But you're right. The question would apply to both the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya case or the more straightforward Mishnah in Gittin case. Amar Abaye. More about this get and its retroactive nature. Let's say he says to her, you know when this divorce is effective? When the sun rises. Okay? I'm so mad at you. I'm so angry at you. Here's your divorce. But for whatever reason, you're going to wait. And you're going to wait till tomorrow morning. I'm making him sound really cruel. But he is being cruel. And you're going to wait till tomorrow morning until the get's going to be valid. Okay? And he says that. So, v'chi ma'is ba'layla, get la'acham isahi. And that night he dies. So, the get is it's not going to be a good get. Because he was clear about the fact that its effectiveness will not take place until tomorrow morning. Okay, that's clear. Okay, no debate about that. Amen. Nashatetze chama minartika. If he says that, look, here's a get, and I'm just setting it on a condition, and the condition is that the sun's going to come out tomorrow morning. So me'achshav kamar. So that's like saying me'achshav.
We know the sun's going to come out.
Right. Right. And that's just a condition, and conditions are fine, and conditions are set. Okay, sorry. What's fine? And that's like saying me'achshav. That's good. When you say almanas, it's tantamount to saying me'achshav dami. Okay. Lo nechilku. Where's the controversy? Where's the Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya / Rabbi Yossi shtar shel get mochiach alav versus everybody else? Where does that controversy exist? Ela bi'im teitse. If the sun will come out.
Right.
Right. Right, sounds like a bad Broadway production. If the sun will come out. Rav Yehuda Hanasi Sever like a Rav Yossi. The Amar Zman Shal Shtar Mochiach Alav. V'Havalei Kemayom. So, the Im, Rashi points out over here, is an ambiguous word. It could mean if. It could mean when. It's really ambiguous. So Rav Yossi says, no problem. It's dated. The date will resolve the ambiguity. The fact that the get is dated means what I meant was when the sun comes out tomorrow. Amenas. Right? Under the condition that the sun comes out tomorrow, the divorce will be good. I'm sorry, not if. When the sun comes out tomorrow. So, v'havalei kemehayom imesi kemeachshav imesi. That's the Rav Yossi position, which Rav Yehuda Nasiya adopts as what he thinks is the halacha. V'rabanan leis lehu de Rav Yossi v'havalei kezegitech imesi greida. And those that argue say no. The im teitzei, if the sun comes out tomorrow, is not saying mehayom, but rather tomorrow. When the sun comes out tomorrow, that's when this divorce is going to be effective. Okay, good. Period. All right, that finishes up our get discussion, and now we're going to come back. We're going to go all the way back to the Mishnah Neidios. There were three heterim that were made by Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Sreda. The three of them were that a grasshopper and grasshopper was kosher. A second one was the liquids in the Beis HaMikdash are going to be tahor. And number three was the mace. And now what we're going to do is we're going to go through all three. Okay? And then finally we'll come back to the end of at the end of today to Yehuda Nasiya. Gufa. Hey Yossi ben Yoezri, Shreda al Ayo Kamsa Dachain. Va'amash Beit Mitbachaya Dachain. Va'al Dikarvli Misa Mas'ev. V'karvle Yosef Sharya. Period. Okay, that was what we quoted earlier. So now, heter number one of Yossi ben Yoezer, the grasshopper. A certain type of grasshopper. Rav Papa Amar Shushiva, Rav Chia Bar Ami, Mishmei De'ula Amar Suzbil. So the Gemara gives us great Aramaic names of different grasshoppers that existed in Persia circa 3rd century in terms of which grasshoppers it was referring to. I don't think it helps us much in terms of helping us identify which grasshoppers are kosher or not. Rav Papa Amar Shushiva V'Kamiflagei Berosha Aruch. The Gemara says, what's that issue over here is what if the grasshopper has a long head? Okay? Marsa Verosha Aruch Asra, Marsa Verosha Aruch Mutter. That's the point of controversy. If you will take a look at Rashi, which we're not going to do now, Rashi writes that this is based on how to darshan the psukim, whether you darshan the psukim through klal uprat versus klal uprat uklal. Take a look at Rashi for an explanation of why this is subject to a debate. Rav Chia Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula Amar Suzbil Berosho Aruch Kuleam Lo Pligi De'aser. The Suzbil, which has an elongated head, for sure is prohibited. V'hacha Bechnafav Chofines Ruba Ayidei Atcha Kamifli. Another criteria, we're going to do this in Chulin a lot, in terms of identifying your kosher grasshopper. Another criteria is that the wings have to cover the majority of the body. If the wings do not cover the majority of the body, the grasshopper is not kosher. What if the wings cover the majority of the grasshopper, but al yidei adchak, meaning I guess when the grasshopper is in a crouched position, or when its legs is, you know, tucked under its body, I'm making this up, I'm not really sure, but somehow the wings are not that long, where it, under most circumstances, don't cover most of the body. And here's the question of what kind of majority? Do you need just a 51%? Or do you need more of a ruba deminkar super majority? Okay? And this, by the way, this question comes up a couple times in the Gemara as to the type of rove you need. Or just a regular 51%? Or perhaps even more than that? Number two, the second heter of Rav Yossi ben Yoezer is about the liquids. The liquids of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now, just in general, liquids are subject to tumah. Whether or not that's true on a Torah level is subject to a debate between Rav and Shmuel. Okay? Rav is of the opinion that liquids are not subject to Tumah Min HaTorah at all. Period. Now, it's true that liquids are rabbinically prohibited, rabbinically Tameh, But min ha-Torah liquids are not subject to Tumah at all. That is the opinion of Rav.
Even blood of a mace?
No. Blood of a mace is a source of Tumah.
Like
we're not talking about a source of Tumah. We're talking about the liquid's ability to accept Tumah, and then after that, to then mitame, to transmit its Tumah to something else. Okay? And Rav says that min ha-Torah, zero. It doesn't receive Tumah, and it certainly doesn't transmit it to something else. Shmuel is of the opinion that min ha-Torah, it receives Tumah, it just doesn't transmit min ha-Torah. Both according to Rav and Shmuel, rabbinically, liquid does both. Rabbinically, it receives Tumah and rabbinically transmits Tumah. The only difference between Rav and Shmuel is that according to Shmuel, min ha-Torah, it receives Tumah. The only thing min ha-Torah it doesn't do is it transmits it, and the rabbis instituted the transmission of Tumah. Okay, now with all that introduction, the Gemara is smooth. My dachein, Rav amar dachein mamash, who Shmuel amar dachein melatame acherem. Aval tumat zatzman yesh bahen. So, in the Azara, he said, Yossi ben Yoezer, all liquids are not tame. Meaning, we're going to go back to Torah law. And it's just a question of what Torah law is. According to Rav, not tame at all. Doesn't even receive tumah. And according to Shmuel, no, it receives tumah, it doesn't transfer over to something else. Rav amar dachein mamash katzav tumas mashkin de rabban v'chi gaz rabbanan tumam b'mashkin da'ama ava b'mashkin b'emet v'chay lo gazrei rabbanan. This is really a function of there's no gzeira in the Mishkan. Ain goes in the Mishkan. Shmuel amar dachein latame acherin aval tumas atzman yesh b'hem katzav tumas mashkin da'ar reis latame acherin de rabbanan v'chi gaz rabbanan b'mashkin da'ama b'mashkin b'emet v'chay lo gazrei. Period. Okay, that's number two. Here's the tricky part for today. This morning, it's going to be number three. What's the third gzera of Yossi ben Yoezer? Al dikarav lemesa masev. Someone who comes close, meaning who touches a dead body, masev. Masev means tummy. Okay? You're going to become tummy. The karale Yosef Shraya. The Gemara asks two very fundamental questions over here. Question number one. Yosef Asrami Baile. First of all, that's not a heter.
Right.
That's an iser. That's question number one. Question number two, Va'odar Raisihi. Two, you touch a dead body, you're tummy in a Torah. What's going on over here? So the Gemara now will explain. The Gemara is going to attempt to give two explanations. Explanation number one: Da'ar writes the dikarev tami dikarev bidikarev tar v'asuina v'gazra afila dikarev bidikarev. So the first explanation. I'm sorry. The asaiu v'ukme adaraisa dikarev bidikarev nami dar. I'm sorry. V'ukme adaraisa. Period. So the first explanation, which the Gemara is going to out of hand reject, is that when you touch a dead body, your tummy. If I touch somebody who touches a dead body, min ha-Torah...
Connected world is disconnected.
Wait. Okay, we're going to get to that. Min ha-Torah, I'm tahor. The rabbis come along and say, I'm tameh. And Yossi ben Yoezer said, let's go back to the din d'oraisa and you're tahor. The Gemara rejects this explanation out of hand. It's not true. You touch a dead body, somebody touches you, or you touch somebody else, that person is tameh, out of hand. The Torah says it. Sometimes the Gemara makes suggestions. It's difficult to understand how the Gemara even entertained such a possibility. In this particular case, I don't have a good explanation why the Gemara suggested something which is a beferish pasuk not to be the case. Okay? So, v'chol asher yigah bo ha-tami yitma. Amru rabban kamei d'rav v'mishmei d'mar zut shubei d'rav nachman d'amar mishmei d'rav nachman. So here we go now. Okay? So here's one of two possible suggestions in terms of what Yossi ben Yoezer meant. D'or writes the dikara b'dikara b'chiburim tumas shiva. Shelo b'chiburin tumas erev. Okay. I touch a dead body, I'm tummy for 7 days. Correct? Yes. That's correct. If I touch somebody else, he's tummy for 1 day. Meaning he'll go to the mikvah and that night he'll be okay. Alright. What if we have electricity? Tumah electricity. I'm touching the dead body, and while I'm still touching the dead body, I touch somebody else. I'm a conductor. Right? That's what's called chiburin. Okay. And that's 7 days. The also inner the agazer afilu shlo bechibur and tova shiva. Along comes the rabbis and say, even without conduction,
yes, sir.
Even if I'm no longer touching the dead body, the rabbis say, I touch somebody else, you tell me for 7 days.
That's a chumrah.
It's a chumrah. The asa,
wait.
The asa iu, the ukme ada araisa. And then comes Yossi ben Yoezer, he's straight and he says, let's go back to the din daraisa, which is, as long as I'm not touching the mace, once I've detached from the mace, and I touch somebody else, it's only a 1 day term, not 7 days. Okay.
And that's considered lenient?
Huh?
Yeah, it's lenient.
He's Chiburin is a...
It's not the level of tumma, just the time.
The time of tumma. Yes, correct. So daraisa nami. So I'm sorry. Daraisa ma'id dichsiv anogeba meisa chol nefesh adam v'tamei shivas yamim muksiv v'chol asher yiga bo tamei yitma v'ksiv v'hanefesh anogasti tamei ada erev. One pasuk seems to indicate that your tamei like you touch the mace. Another pasuk indicates no, your tamei this until this evening. Ha ketzad kan v'chiburin kan shelo v'chiburim. Period. That is our first explanation of Rav Yossi ben Yoezer. Is straighter in terms of what he was matir. So now we have a much better understanding. Right? This first explanation is it stands, although the Gemara will offer a second one tomorrow as well. You touch somebody who touched the mace, as long as he is currently not touching the mace, min ha-Torah, your tummy for 1 day. There was a gzera derabban that you should be tummy for 7 days. And Yosef ben Yoezer says, no, let's roll it back. You're now tummy for 1 day.
And we hold.
Okay. Well, hold on. Well, tomorrow we'll finish up our discussion. Okay.